Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. Jaguars Postgame underway. Final score, Packers 27, Jaguars 23. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, proud of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. We'll go in the locker room coming up. Gus Bradley will visit with Jeff Lagerman, and we'll get in that locker room too. Sure, a disappointed place today because the Jags were knocking on the door. They found themselves a little bit of a fight in this game and then just hung around towards the end, had the drive. Let's start, though, before we get to all that. There's plenty to dissect out of this game. The play call on fourth and one at the end of the game. Screen out to the right side of the receiver. You heard Tony Boselli after the game say, hey, there's a chance you could break it there. He was, you know, wasn't totally sold on the call. Fred, what do you make of the call on fourth and one?
Being an offensive player, you tend to hate to question the calls. I think they knew they were going to get man coverage. They knew they were going to get some sort of blitz, maybe a zero blitz right there, which translates to man coverage. And if I think A-Rob just a little bit more stout in his blocking, because when he goes in, the corner, his assignment is to follow A-Rob. If you get it out to Hearns right there, you know, pretty much can possibly walk in. Not a bad call. Wasn't executed as best as they could have.
I hated it.
It's frustrating, though, because you always are taught, right, throw it past the sticks on fourth down.
I mean, you want to, but, again, you know, looking at the film.
We'll get back to this in just a moment. Let's go inside the locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Gus Bradley. Jeff?
Thank you, JP. Gus, hard-fought game. Opportunity to win it at the end after the defense forces a three and out. You got to be proud of them.
Well, you know, we never accept defeat, and I know that's what I just told the team. We accept a lot of things that we did today, but that's one we won't. And, you know, when you get down there, you got to make opportunity or take advantage of the opportunities. We had our chances, but the effort and the strain, what we needed today, we got some things to clean up. But, you know, the performance and how these guys battled, really appreciate it.
Today, facing one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, and Aaron Rodgers, and some of the plays that he was able to make, the one that Jalen Ramsey's pulling his jersey and he still throws a dart down the field for a touchdown, simply amazing.
Well, we knew that coming in the game. You know, he's a guy that can extend plays and make plays happen. And, you know, so he has that quality. He is one of the best in the league, without a doubt. And he made some plays, critical times, and they got the victory because of it.
Turnover margin, minus one in today's game, had the early interception tip ball. Getting more takeaways, obviously a goal of yours as a team.
Well, always. And we knew coming this game they did a good job with the ball. So, you know, that one earlier, but we came back and we recovered quickly from that. And, you know, we tied the game up and had a chance to go in the locker room to have the lead until that two-minute drive by them. But, you know, it's just a hard-fought game. I don't know what to say. You know, it's a hard-fought game. We battled. We just didn't do enough.
All right. Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
There's Gus Bradley in the locker room with Jeff Lagerman. Before we went to Gus, Fred, we were still talking about that last play and some options there at least, right?
Yeah, Green Bay, I think in scouting those guys, they, you know, they tend to go zero blitz right there in the tight red zone. Again, you knew you were going to get man coverage. And for that particular reason, I don't think it was a bad call. Just not executed, as I was saying, as best as they could have.
Frustrating finish today. Final score 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars in week one. Jeff Lagerman in the locker room after this. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and location. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. Final score 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. We go inside the Jags locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Allen Robinson.
All right, thank you, JP. Allen, this is a tough one. You know, it hurts opportunity at the end of the ball game offensively. Guys weren't able to capitalize. For you as an offensive player, it has to make it hurt pretty good.
Yeah, it does. You know, we did a lot of things well throughout this game. You know, we were in a crucial down situation. You know, it was just a few times we came up short.
Take us through that last play. It was, you guys were able to convert, I think, 3 fourth downs. And then the last fourth down play, what happened on that play?
They loaded the box. We went outside. We just tried to push to get the yard, and we weren't able to do it.
This is one of the quietest locker rooms I've ever seen. And since you've been here, is it the same feel for you?
Oh, yeah, it is. You know, there's a lot of people hurting this locker room. You know, we put a lot of effort in going into this week, you know. And, I mean, it's not the last week, you know, but this is one that everybody put a lot of effort into. It was a lot of people hurt.
Thank you, Alan.
There's Alan Robinson, Jaguars wide receiver. You can tell in his voice, guys, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. You know, there were some good things today, but at the end of the day, 27-23, they couldn't get it done at the tail end of this ball game today offensively. Where do you want to start here on offense, guys, except for that last play?
Well, you know, I think they really settled down, like Gus indicated, when and we'll hear from Blake coming up right now.
Yeah, let's go back in the locker room. Blake Bortles with Jeff Lagerman.
All right, thank you, JP. Blake, tough one. You guys have an opportunity at the end there, and you weren't able to capitalize. Take us through the game as a whole and your thoughts on the feel of it.
Yeah, you know, obviously it hurts. There's a lot that goes into this throughout the week, and, you know, guys play as hard as they can and give it everything they got, and it's never good to come out and not, you know, have the result that you wanted. But, you know, I thought it was cool. I thought things went up and down. There was adversity that hit. There was things that went well, and I thought, you know, offensively we played our tails off in battle throughout till the end of the game. Just got to find a way to get it done on fourth down.
You guys faced one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You can talk about back and forth and to have an opportunity at the end to win it. Do you take a little bit of pride in that, or can you build on that as a team?
You know, I don't know. We have high expectations of ourselves, and, you know, I think, you know, we believe that we should beat them every time we play them, and no doubt about that, which is, you know, I think why everybody's so disappointed about this. But, you know, I thought it was cool. They're obviously a team that's, you know, had a lot of success with a great quarterback that plays. You know, and I thought for the most part we did some good stuff, and, you know, definitely things to correct and learn from.
How much not having Chris Ivory did that hurt today?
Yeah, it definitely put a little more on TJ, and I thought he did good. Denard got a chance to come in there and do some things as well. But, you know, from TJ really stepping up, taking on more of a workload, you know, I think he did a good job. Obviously, would have loved to have Chris, but things happen.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Yeah, thanks.
Blake Bortles with Jeff Lagerman in the locker room. All right, so offensively today, Blake Bortles got him down the field a few times in the first half, and then when it, you know, they got the thing moving again down that last drive. Just couldn't finish the job today.
Yeah, I mean, slow start in the sense you turn it over on that first drive. The ball's a little behind Marquise Lee. Maybe he could have caught it, maybe not. But you get the tip ball interception, and like, uh-oh. But, they came back and never let the Packers get away from them. Never let them get two scores out in front. And we thought that was going to be very important today. TJ Yeldon, Fred, 21 carries for 39 yards does not tell the story of how well he ran today. Because, I mean, how many times did he get hit 3, 4, 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage? He made some guys miss. You can't make everybody miss when they're getting you behind the line like that.
Yeah, I thought Yeldon was exceptional today. I mean, just his quicks downhill, catching the ball out the backfield, picking up the blitz. You know, he played a well-rounded game. And again, the statistics in the run game, they're not there. They have to get better at it. But from an individual sense, he ran very hard in effect.
Let's go back in the locker room. Jalen Ramsey with Jeff Lagerman.
All right, thank you, JP. Jalen, first NFL game against one of the NFL's best in Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts on him?
He did well. He led his team very very good, and unfortunately they came out on top because of his leadership of his team.
Back and forth game the entire way. The last drive that you guys had defensively, getting the three and out was huge. What was said in the huddle prior to that first down play on that drive?
We just put the game on us. We came in the second half, we made our corrections, and we told ourselves, you know, let's put the game on us, guys. Went out in the second half. I feel like we played very well in the second half defensively. And we also had good field position set up by great punts and great punt coverage. So we just fought hard. That's what this team always do. We play with a lot of passion and heart.
All right. Thank you, Jalen.
Thank you.
There's Jalen Ramsey in the Jaguars locker room. We'll come back in a moment. Still plenty left to get to here on Jaguars postgame. We'll have the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for Fred Taylor as well. Final score 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Final score, 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars in week one in 2016. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor with you. It's time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, Fred, is there anything positive you can get out of today?
A lot of positive, JP. I mean, they outgained them in yardage, total offense. The offense did. Defensively, you know, they played a great quarterback. They only gave up six points in the second half after the slow start early on. So they'll get back to the drawing board and get it done next week.
Question number two, Fred, how would you rate Blake Bortles' performance today?
I love what Blake did today. He's the first Jaguars quarterback to throw for over 300 against the Green Bay team. Didn't make a lot of mistakes. He fought off the early interception, the bad throw. And as Blake does all the time, he's a warrior. He plays to the end.
And finally, the pass rush didn't seem to get home much today. Was that a pass rush issue or an Aaron Rodgers issue?
Oh, man, it was Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's as poised and as smooth as they can be. You know, the guys were upfield. They were up there. But Aaron would just simply step up, slide the pocket, make the throws. He made a lot of great throws.
He absolutely did. Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers for Fred Taylor. Now, part of the scheme today in the pass rush is not really to – you got to keep him in the pocket somehow, too. You don't want him to scramble outside of that pocket. That's when he gets really dangerous.
Well, when he ran for the touchdown, now Audric came straight up the field. And you know, you're trying to be aggressive, but he came up the field, and the tackle took him right past the pocket,
right.
And that opened things up wide. That's an example of what you're talking about. You want to be aggressive. You want to get after him, but – he's so good, and you don't know if he's going to take off to run or if he's going to take off to – he's always looking downfield to throw.
I think what I noticed, the young guys are upfield fast. They were flying upfield. And the quarterbacks, you know, the great ones, they're going to step up. So flying past them does nothing. So what I would like to personally see is a better push from the interior D-line and then lane integrity. Well, the guys got to stay in their lanes, and then you minimize the quarterback's ability to slide in that pocket.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. We'll come back with the highlights, the Bud Light Play of the Game as well. A final Everbank stats check coming up a little later also. 27-23 Packers over the Jaguars. And this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. 27-23 the final, Packers over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, it's time to hear some highlights from the game. Plenty of those in the first half. We'll also pick the Bud Light Play of the Game. Well, the Jags offense got the ball first. Got a couple of little runs from Yeldon. We're moving the ball a bit, but then Blake Bortles intercepted.
The Packers showing blitz here on this first long third down of the game. Bortles takes the snap, drops the throw, looking downfield, fires. That ball is in and out of the hands, and then picked off. It is then intercepted by the Green Bay Packers. They fumble, but then they fall on it. So it's going to be intercepted after being tipped a couple times by Green Bay, and they're going to run it back to the Jacksonville 29-yard line.
Joe Thomas with the interception. Six plays later, Aaron Rodgers uses his legs, gets in the end zone.
Lacy stands to the quarterback's right this time. Four-man front for the Jags. Rodgers drops the throw, looks. Now he's rolling right. Got a lot of time, still rolling. He can run it in, I think, and he does.
Aaron Rodgers in the end zone, 7-0 Packers. Jags defense was stout after that. They had three straight three and outs. While the Jags offense got on the board a couple of times to Mercedes Lewis started it off. A couple of plays after that, T.J. Yeldon over Clinton Dix.
Second down and four now from the 5-yard line of the Green Bay Packers. They can make a first down at the one. Bunch to the right again, shotgun again. Yeldon stands to the left of Bortles. They hand it inside, handoff again. Yeldon grinding those legs, got it to the goal line. Touchdown, T.J. Yeldon. A 5-yard touchdown run, and Jacksonville is on the board.
7-7 game after the extra point. Myers would later hit a 26-yard field goal to put the Jags ahead 10-7. Ensuing drive for Green Bay. 9 plays, 75 yards. Rodgers to his old weapon, Jordy Nelson, who's healthy.
Second down and four from the 6. They can make a first at the 2-yard line. Shotgun for Rodgers. He drops, looks. Now he's going to scramble a little bit. Stays alive in the pocket. Now looks into the end zone, fires. And it is caught for a touchdown by Jordy Nelson. Amu Kamara tried to knock it out of there. He could not. and the Packers are in the end zone again.
14-10 Packers. Jags come back offensively. Hearns had a 30-yard reception. The drive goes seven plays, 75 yards. And this is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Bortles to Julius Thomas for the score.
You got a third and 10 from the 22-yard line of Green Bay. Trips left. Julius Thomas by himself to the right. Yeldon, the running back. Five on the play clock. Slow snap, he handles it. Fires it to the right side. Once Julius Thomas. The ball is caught in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Julius Thomas for the touchdown.
Jags had a 17-14 lead, but they left some time on the clock for Aaron Rodgers. Five plays, 75 yards. Rodgers to Adams before the half.
Third down and 10 from the 29-yard line. 20 seconds to play in the half. Jags lead by three. Rodgers, shotgun. Long snap down. He drops. The Jags blitz. He's dropping a throw. Can they get there? He tries to run around. He throws it while being covered. And that is going to be caught for the touchdown. Rodgers threw it while being harassed, and he got it to Devontae Adams.
Yeah, he did, and I don't know if there's another quarterback in the league that can make that throw.
Unbelievable throw. I mean, just off the fingertips. One of the two that he threw just like that today, the other one to Jordy Nelson.
21-17, the halftime score. Field goals in the second half. Crosby, Myers, 27-23 at that point. The Jags defense forced a big three and out there. Prince with a big play on third down to get the ball back. Jaguars driving, couple of fourth down conversions. They were 3-for-3 on the day. They got a defensive holding call on fourth and 14 to keep the drive alive. It comes down to fourth and one at the Packers' 14-yard line. Here's the final play.
Shotgun for Bortles. They show blitz. Why not? They blitzed all day. They throw it. It is caught. Hearns didn't get there. They threw it in the backfield. Hearns did not get there. He needed a yard. He got about a half yard. Green Bay takes over on downs. They threw a ball in the backfield to Allen Hearns, and he is tackled shy of the line to make.
That's how it happened today. Disappointing ending for the Jags. They fall 27-23. More Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor coming up, and Everbank stats check as well. 27-23, Packers over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score 27-23, Packers over the Jaguars. PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. It's time now for an Everbank final stats check. And the Jaguars look pretty good on the stat sheet today. Offensively, 20 first downs to 18 in front of the Packers there. Third downs, 4 of 15, not great. But 3 of 4 on fourth downs, 3 for 3, don't matter, though, and because the fourth one didn't come through at the end of the ball game, unfortunately. Total yardage, 348 to 294, Jags over the Packers. Rushing yardage, 95 to 48, Packers led the way there. Through the air, 300 yards passing for the Jaguars today. 199 for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Penalties, here we go, 9 penalties, 79 yards. Key penalties for the Jaguars, 5 for 24 for the Packers, and you can go both ways with that. There were a couple of key penalties in big situations for the Jags. There were some not called on the other side earlier in the ball game too, but I think that's just the nature of some games in the NFL, but a little more egregious today than otherwise.
Yeah, and look, you know, you're not the Heritage franchise, but you're the home team and your all-pro wide receivers getting mugged in the first quarter and no calls there. And I thought the call against Jonathan Cyprian was crazy on the pass interference. But taking a look at some individual numbers here, JP, as you mentioned, 320 yards passing. Of course, that's Blake Bortles, 24 out of 39 on the day with a touchdown and an interception that ultimately led to a Packer score. Aaron Rodgers, 199. I think the Jags did a pretty good job there. Two touchdowns. If you said Aaron Rodgers would not throw for 200 yards, Jag fans would have all taken that going in. T.J. Yeldon, tough running today. Again, 21 carries for 39 yards doesn't look very good, 1.9 per carry. But when you consider how many times he got hit in the backfield, we thought he ran pretty well today. He did score the touchdown, and Eddie Lacy on the other side, 14 for 61. Alan Hearns led the way through the air, 4 grabs for 75 yards. Allen Robinson came on late, 6 for 72 today. Julius Thomas, 5 for 64, and the lone touchdown through the air. For the Packers, it was Randall Cobb. He caught 6 for 57. Davante Adams, 3 for 50, and Jordy Nelson working his way back into form, 6 for 32 with a touchdown, but those are not the typical numbers you see from Jordy, who's a big yards per catch guy typically. Defensively for the Jags, Jonathan Cyprian led the way with 9 solo tackles. Telvin Smith had 8 total tackles, 6 solos, including 2 behind the line of scrimmage. Morgan Burnett led the way for the Packers with 8 solos, including a sack of Blake Bortles.
Julius Thomas involved today, Fred.
Yeah, those the 5 targets he got in the first half I thought were great. He caught everything. And he was only targeted one time in the second half, though. I like to see, you know, the targets to the tight ends, you know, remain consistent. But although it was one target, it was a big play because it was a conversion due to a holding call. You compare it to last year when he came in, you want to see him get those targets and those looks. So the tight ends, I thought they played well today.
Great 37-yard catch and run by Mercedes. Oh, yeah. I mean, really, made two great moves near the line of scrimmage and then broke that for another 25 yards. So
I got to go and talk to Mercedes. Should have been a touchdown.
Well, you know, not everybody has Fred Taylor's,
you know,
wheels.
A little vision there.
All right.
But he ran well. I mean, he's quick, strong, fast down the field for a 32-year-old.
The weapons are there for Blake, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah,
he
has the weapons.
No doubt about that. Allen Robinson targeted 15 times today. How about that?
Big 15, 15 for 15.
Only 6 catches. That's the other issue.
This is true. I mean, I think if he had a few of those PI calls, he's a big body. He's going to draw pass interference calls. And they had him wrapped up, not blanketed, but wrapped up. And I thought if they weren't so aggressive, he would have caught a few of those.
Well, he had the 2 early, Fred, and then he had the 1, as you were talking about off the air, up the left sideline where he almost hauled it in with his left hand. He was getting held on that one as well. And then, you know, just such a close play there on that final drive in the end zone. Blake threw a kind of a mortar shot there, but it got right where it needed to be.
Right.
And I think A-Rob will come down with that ball 6 out of 10 times, if not more. I think he'd probably tell you that himself. Just a you know, tough defensive play on that ball.
You know, last year you could have made the argument, Allen Robinson has not arrived yet, and he might not get many calls in the league. He's a young player in the league. At what point, after a Pro Bowl, do you start getting more of those calls, you know, like as a veteran presence in the league? Do you get more of those calls? Is there a certain point where that starts to happen for a player, Fred?
I think it starts with the team first.
Okay.
You know, I don't know about the refs and how they view the Jaguars. I mean, we're a young team, not a whole lot of tradition. You're still growing, but it's the Jaguars versus Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay Packers. I just think the refs need to be a little bit more consistent. If you're going to call certain calls, call it both ways. You know, I don't want to attack them. I'm just, you know, calling how it is. A-Rob, he'll start drawing a lot more attention because he's a huge body, and he's going to get those looks, and he's going to out-jump everybody that's defending him. So hopefully the refs will recognize it, especially after hearing this segment.
Because Fred Taylor said so.
You better make those calls.
I like Fred. You don't want to be the guys that are always just pointing to the referees, but there's some that when it's very clear early in this
day,
game,
it,
right,
it is
that,
what it
that
is,
really
right.
stood out. But, you know.
There you have it.
Not going to give them back to you.
No.
That's for sure.
They're not. That's the EverBank final stats check. We'll come back and pick a player of the game. It's an unhappy final today, though. 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. And this is Jaguars post game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars post game continues. Final score 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, proud of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor with you. It's time now, guys, to pick a player of the game for this one. It's unfortunate to do it in the losing situation, but there are still some positives individually that came out of this game today. First look at the Jaguars here in 2016. The voting procedure, Mike, you and I get a single vote each. And then Fred gets a vote and a half to break any deadlock that there might be.
So what happens if I choose, like, 2 guys? Can I choose 2 guys?
Sure you can. You're Fred Taylor, man.
What is half of 1.5? 7.75 last I went to math class.
I think we should all choose two guys today, actually.
Well, go ahead and
let's
start,
make it more
Michael.
Complicated.
Go ahead.
You want me to, you know what? I'll choose one, but I do want to give an honorable mention to Jason Myers.
Oh. Right?
Jason Myers comes in. He drills a 50-yard field goal, makes all his kicks today, and pretty much sailed them all straight down the middle, too. I thought he performed very well. Wasn't ever a question mark. There's a lot of pressure on him coming out of the preseason. There's going to be a lot of pressure on any kicker going forward. But
I think you took Fred's choice.
I may have taken him. That's just my tip of the cap guy. I'm going to give it to Telvin Smith, though. We talked about him off the air a little bit. Telvin was flying around today. He was very – I don't know if it was the talk of Miles Jack kind of pushing him or what it was, but he was on his game today. Two tackles for loss, really making clean, tough tackles against a much bigger Eddie Lacy when you consider Telvin's size. You could have gone a lot of ways on offense. I'm going to go Telvin Smith on defense.
Yeah, 8 total tackles for Telvin today, too. You know, I'm going to go Julius Thomas. 5 targets, 5 catches, 64 yards, and the go-ahead touchdown. Ended up, not – mattering much after that because the Packers went right down the field. But a nice catch in the corner, and you like to see a lot of that moving forward for the Jags. I'm going Julius Thomas. So, Fred, you got to break the deadlock.
Yeah, I think I'm going to break the deadlock. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, Jason Myers.
No, wow.
You got, at least I got a little. You got Myers. I feel like inspired.
I was just kidding. That was your pick.
That was my pick.
Why did I call that?
He came out, a year ago. He missed some kicks that – were very makeable.
Missed 7 extra points last year. Now, what has he made? 16 field goals in a row? Something around that.
You know, he was clutch today. What was it? 3 for 3? It's 3 for 3.
Yeah, three for three, including a 50-yarder, which got everybody free firehouse.
But I also just want to bring some notice to Nortman.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, big bombs, big legs, pinned him inside the 3, back-to-back.
Do you know what he averaged on those two punts? 67.5 yards. Right. Those are the only two punts he had, but they're both down inside the 5.
So when I said two guys, I was talking about the specialists.
That's pretty good.
Your special team showed up.
I was totally just trying to be I was just trying to be funny when you were saying Myers.
62.5, let me correct myself. But no, I mean, Nortman was phenomenal for the few times they needed to use him today, definitely paid off early on.
Helped
set the defense up. That was in that phase, JP, when they were going 3 straight 3 and outs. Yeah. That was a big part of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you have it. So Jason Myers.
Jason Myers.
Gets the player of the game from the Jaguars Radio Network.
No argument here.
Fred Taylor gets it done. We'll come back with a Baptist Health Injury Report. Final score 27-23. Packers are 1-0. Jags are 0-1. This is Jaguars Post Game on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. The final score at Everbank Field today, 27-23. The Packers hold off the Jaguars in week 1. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. You know, the only real notable thing we heard during the broadcast was Jalen Ramsey went out and got retaped and then was limping around a little bit during the game, but played through it. Other than that, I don't remember anything too notable in the game.
Right? Not from the Jaguars' perspective. I would be checking on Sam Shields right about now after T.J. Yeldon put him on the ground. A little helmet-to-helmet contact. It's a clean play. He got trucked on that one. But you're right. Jalen, I think he got taped up, came back in, went out for a play or two. He'll play through that. It sounded after the game like it wasn't any big deal.
Chris Ivory hospitalized, I think, earlier today and was scratched from the game because of that. The team not releasing exactly what it was, a medical issue is what they're saying. But how did that affect the run game today for the Jags, Fred?
I think they probably had some plays in there that they like Ivory in more so than Yeldon. You know, maybe a screen game, short yardage offense, could be anything. But it alters the way they look at things. Denard, obviously, he's ready. Didn't get a lot of carries, but, he has to be ready.
I'm sorry, Fred. We touched on this earlier, the run game with Yeldon. The yardage is not there, but there were times where he was just hitting the backfield and weird things happened in the backfield today, and he would fight to get only 1 yard lost instead of 5.
I'm very pleased and impressed by Yeldon's performance today, and more than anything else, he didn't drop. He didn't put the ball on the turf. So, with those amount of carries in this heat, first game of the year, having to become a lot more acclimated, fatigue can set in easily. 20-plus carries, nothing on the ground. That's a testament to him.
Did you see fatigue set in for anybody? We saw a lot of long drives by both teams in the second half, Fred, but I didn't really see anything that indicated to me that it was because the heat was getting to guys and guys were wilting.
No, I was going to definitely try and give a shout-out to the training staff and, you know, the guys. It seems like they're very well conditioned. You know, I didn't see any guys running off with cramp issues or anything like that. They're in good shape.
We'll come back and preview next week's game, week two in the National Football League. Week one goes to the Packers, 27-23 the final. This is Jaguars Post Game on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars Post Game, final score, 27-23 the Packers. Hold off the Jags' furious rally at the end. Get it done today over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Fred Taylor. Next week, the Jaguars go west. A 4:25 Eastern time kickoff in San Diego against the Chargers. Phillip Rivers, probably without Keenan Allen, it sounds like. He was injured today, knee injury. The Chargers, what did they do today? They were playing early. They lost. The Chiefs rallied, yeah, in overtime. 33-27, so Chargers team without a big weapon. They're coming off a loss. They're opening the stadium for the first time, maybe the last time again in San Diego. A lot going on in San Diego.
Not only coming off a loss, Fred, but coming off a gut-wrenching loss. Not only the fact that you lose Keenan Allen, but they're up 27-10 in this game. On the road in the division, a chance to steal one from Kansas City, and then not only do they lose Keenan Allen, they end up losing the game. So that's going to be a bit of a desperate team. As much as you can be desperate in week two of the season, it's going to be a team that's going to be looking to circle the wagons against the Jags next week.
Yeah, they're all saying right now that, man, we let it slip through our fingers, but we'll be okay next week. You know, we got a Jaguars team coming way to the West
Coast. Let them say it.
You know, and they're going to say those things, but at the same time, if you hit them in the mouth early, they'll say, man, we can't, you know, stick with this team. So it'll be a good game.
Yeah, it should be. What's the mindset of this Jags team now, Fred?
You know, they realize how much improved they are. I think they recognize that. I think the guys that committed penalties today, you know, in certain times of the game, they're in there saying, I got to, you know, be more accountable to the guys that are next to me. But I do believe that everybody's still positive and upbeat. This one sucks. You know, you don't want to lose the opener. But they also understand that it's a long season and they're close. They did a lot of good things today. I don't want to say great, but a lot of good things today in every phase of the game. And I think they'll improve.
Five consecutive openers lost now for the Jaguars. 2011 was the last time.
Yeah, I mean, again, this one doesn't feel like – it feels like you're on a par with the Green Bay Packers. You know, I really – we said it. Hey, we're sitting here watching halfway through the second quarter. You're like – there's no difference between these football teams.
You heard Blake say it in the postgame locker room. This is a team we should beat.
Right.
Feel like we agree
should.
With
well, you know, I think
right.
That's players' mentality, too. We feel like you should beat your opponent all the time. I don't know if there's moral victories, but I do believe, like Fred said, they know right now probably just how good they're capable of being anyway. You got to turn those into W's, though, you know, in the end. This is a prove it to me year for the Jaguars, but in terms of showing up and showing what caliber of players and what caliber of team they had. I think they showed you that today. Just came up really one play short.
Yeah, and I also think a reason Blake will probably make that statement, you know, they started slow. You pretty much spotted them a touchdown.
You did.
And you lose by four. But they played well. Other than that series right there, they played well throughout the course of the game. And then they had an opportunity to win it. Right there, as the clock was winding down in the very end.
The other one that killed you, Fred, was that with about a minute to go, you give the ball up to Green Bay at the end of the first half. Yeah. After you just put a touchdown on the board, that Aaron Rodgers is dangerous. We know you're not going to stop him all the time, but you're thinking, boy, we just took the advantage here, right. And you gave it right back. They took it from you, but you know what I'm saying. It was tough one to give up.
In the second half, the Jags defense kind of kept this game within a score a couple of times. Mm-hmm. There were times where it could have been a 10-point game or whatever, and they held them. Bend but don't break.
Right.
They're at the goal line on that, 16-play drive?
Right.
If they punch it in right there, guess what? It could be game over.
Absolutely.
At that point.
I mean, like Fred said, I had 6 points in the second half. Yeah. You know, there are positives to point to. I'm not saying that should be the overwhelming feeling you had. I can understand Jag fans had their guts ripped out at the moment.
Even that, 140 yards in – the two series to open the second half, 29 plays, 6 points, 140 yards. You would think they should have gotten more points out of 140 yards.
Right.
I mean, at least I think that way.
Frustrating. 27-23 the final. Anything else? I mean, that's it, right? I mean, 27-23. Chargers next week. And
pretty identical to last year's opening score, right? Carolina?
20-9, wasn't
it?
20 to
something like
that.
I think
it was not
identical. By the way,
maybe that pick six changed
my mind.
Tip of
the cap to Tony Smith, who produces this show, who picked 27-23, Green Bay. Why didn't he? If he had picked 30-23,
I would say
Jags,
congratulations.
So
why are you picking the Green Bay?
He's picking,
what is wrong with you?
He was right. Yeah. I don't know what you can fault him for. He was right on the number.
He's got a Jag logo on his shirt.
All I know is I'm gonna check in with Tony right after this game. Give me some lottery numbers.
He'll be off to Vegas, and we'll see you next
week. Lottery
week.
Numbers, Tony.
Fred, well done. We'll talk to you next week.
That's
as
right.
The Chargers host the Jags, man. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it.
There he goes.
Thank you, Fred.
Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, stick around, Mike.
I will plan on doing that.
We've got the Scoreboard Show if you're in Jacksonville on 1010XL, our flagship station. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 904-355-6351. Jags Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score, 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars in week one on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. J.P. Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah & Farrah, GEICO, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by EverBank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard Show underway. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, live on 1010XL in Jacksonville. Also live on Jaguars.com.
Oh, we still are live on
it. And the Jaguars app.
I thought Jag fans might catch a break and not,
No. This is going to be big. We're live on the website,
right.
So wave to everybody. The Jaguars fall 27-23. Packers are now 1-0. The Jags are 0-1 after the loss. Frustrating 4th-and-1 call. That's going to be a big topic tonight, I think, among Jaguars fans. That some will question the play call. Some will question that. Oh, that'll be the big question, I think.
In terms of play calling. But,
yeah.
Look, Gus Bradley, you know, let's say people come in and out of this room throughout the game. They watch a little with us for a few minutes. Every time he went for it on 4th down, there was at least somebody saying, what are you doing, right? And he had the right sense that, hey, we can't settle. We can't get it to midfield and turn it back over to the Green Bay Packers. You're not going to hold them down forever. And he was very aggressive in that department. And Blake Bortles did a great job with his receivers converting those 3rd downs or those 4th downs. And they converted the one on the penalty that Allen Hurns got held on as well. So, you know, you're 4 out of 5 basically going forward on 4th down with the exception of the one that you needed the most at that point. I hated the call. And I understand Fred. I respect Fred's opinion, certainly, and Tony Boselli as well.
You heard Allen Robinson say, hey, they loaded the box. We felt if we got a block, we could get it. You know, it's a yard.
I get it. But, you know, you're 4th and short, man. Just you got these trees out there. You got Robinson. You got Julius Thomas. Just angle your body on a slant in front of somebody and let Blake put it on your chest. It only takes a half second to get rid of that ball on a quick slant. I just didn't like it. I don't like having your guy have to go. You need 1 yard, and you're making him go 3 or 4 yards once he gets the ball in his hands. And you have one guy to block. And I understand the nature of that block, but you have one guy with 2 defenders right there. And they blew the play up, and, you know, in the end, we saw the result. Didn't like it.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get to some calls coming up. It's going to be a tough one to take for Jags fans, but, hey, they're in a game against the Packers in the 4th quarter at the 14-yard line going in.
Yeah, look, if you want moral victories, this game was full of.
Oh, sure.
I don't think
most. Full of.
Right. I mean, it was loaded to the brim with moral victories. I don't think Jag fans want that.
I think this team passed that, too.
Right. You need to be past that. And we're sitting here, JP. I mean, we really did. We said in the first half, you and I were talking, maybe 5 minutes into the 2nd quarter, There's no difference between these two teams. There's nothing. I look at Green Bay. Now, maybe as Jordy Nelson gets healthier, they're going to become a more dangerous offense down the line. But hey, that's the nature of the game. Jags were without Chris Ivory today, and they didn't find out until the morning of the game. So that certainly could have played a role in today's outcome. You don't know or not. I mean, look, there's plenty of areas you can point to. T.J. Yeldon got hit, we said, too many times. How many? 4 or 5 yards deep in the backfield. He made a couple of great plays just to get near the line of scrimmage on a couple of those runs. Blake, you know, key turnover. It's a key turnover in your end of the field. I know it's only one play, and I know
tip ball.
I get that, but it was a little bit behind Marquise Lee. You can argue, should Lee have caught it? I don't know. I didn't think Blake was super sharp today. He ended up throwing for 320, converted those fourth downs, had the beautiful touchdown pass of Julius Thomas. So it wasn't – I'm just trying to hold him to a higher standard. You know what I mean? I mean, there are areas that if he could just clean up a little bit here and there. I'm not putting the loss on any one thing, because when you come down, you could point to any number of things that caused this loss today. But that was certainly one that gave you a sinking feeling early, but you liked the fact that they came right back. They got right back into it, took the lead, never let themselves get behind by a couple of scores, because that today, I think, would have spelled doom against this Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, the second half, this thing could have got away if the Packers punched it in the end zone one of those times. And bend but don't break. What, a 16-play drive there, that second possession of the second half for the Packers, 73 yards, and they end up with a 20-yard field goal at the end that made it a 27-20 game. So, yeah, they still lost.
They did.
That's the end
of
the day. Well, and this is 2016, and it's an 0-1 Jaguar team.
Correct, but this is an indication of how they play. Going forward, they're going to win a lot of football games. I'm not trying to say you should feel good. No moral victories. It's not a season of moral victories. But you have 15 more games to play. The season's not over with. Tennessee lost today. If Indy loses today, you only have one team in the division. Then in Houston, who's got to win? It's very early on in the season. This is arguably the best team that they'll face all year long in the Green Bay Packers. So I just think – I bet Green Bay – I'm curious to see what is coming out of their locker room, because I think they probably have a lot of respect for the way the Jaguars played on the field today. Again, you're not out there to earn the other team's respect. You're out there to outscore them and come home with a W. Let's get a call in before our first break. 355-NFL-1. We're going to start with Micah today on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Micah. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, buddy. What's up?
I don't know. I just want to tell you guys, Jags fans need to get their heads up high. We went toe-to-toe with the team. A lot of people picked to win the Super Bowl. And, I mean, a couple of calls go our way, and, you know, that's a W. So, I mean, AFC South could be ours. We just got to go out there and fight.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's no really response. I just want you guys to keep your heads up high. So.
Hey, I got it. Hey, you don't need to worry about us, man. Trust us.
We'll be okay.
We're going to show – look, we've
been through worse.
We're emotionally invested. At least I know I am, JP. You know, I go around this room like a crazy man in the fourth quarter.
There's a hole in the new carpet you're pacing
Drive. I'm jumping up and down. We're into it along with everybody else. I
am too, for the record.
I know. You're more sedate than I am. I know you're into it, but you're more of a professional than I am. I'm just going to say, there are Jag fans that can feel that way, and I think it's a legitimate way to feel, and I hope there are a lot of them that have that, because, boy, what a turnout today. What a ridiculously great atmosphere we had for NFL football here on the First Coast, and to not have that paid off with a victory is tough, particularly the way the game finished up, and you got a ball fluttering towards Allen Robinson in the corner of the end zone. I'm telling you, I think he comes down with 6 out of 10 times, and it was the margin. That just, you come down with that play, and you're going to win the football game. So, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the Jaguar fan base feels.
Yeah, Dez Bryant just came down with one of those balls in the corner for the Cowboys.
That was almost on cue, right? I mean, that really was a pretty spectacular catch right there by Dez. He just went up and high-pointed it and got several points of contact down.
We'll come back in a moment. More of your calls. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. We'll go until 6 o'clock tonight. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And the Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. 27-23 Packers over the Jaguars in Week 1. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and your calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. You know, there's a lot of ways people can go with these phone calls today. They can be frustrated with the ending. It can be, we just got one earlier, oh, okay, they went toe-to-toe with the Packers, and let's see what happens next week. I think I'm kind of on the fence here.
Yeah, I think you can be both of those. There's absolutely, you're like, wow, we went toe-to-toe with the Pack, but oh my goodness.
Go beat the
Packers. How did we not win that football game? So I do think there's an element. I mean, I would expect even the most frustrated Jaguar fan over the last several years of coming up short has got to see some improvements and bright spots, because there are a lot of those today. And again, I'm not saying that's enough. That should not be enough. That should not be what you're playing for in 2016. And it's not what they're playing for in 2016. You heard it in Allen Robinson's voice, really. I thought when Jeff Loggeman interviewed him, there's nothing that he's happy about right now. So let's get back to it. 355-6351, 355-NFL1, the number. Darren, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Dems. JP, look, bottom line is, guys, I'm a hardcore NFL Jaguar fan, obviously. Got a Jags tattoo on my chest, so I am hardcore, okay? Bottom line is, I was yelling and screaming at the TV, this team is much, much improved. They went toe-to-toe with arguably, like you said, one of the best teams in the NFL. If we get this kind of effort from this team, 60 minutes, week in and week out, we will be over the 500 mark. There's no doubt in my mind. There was a couple little spots here and there. But I want to ask you guys about this one question about this, and I know it's out of our hands. We don't control, and I know even the TV announcers were making comments on it. But what is your thoughts on the first holding call on an offensive player is on Jokel when he's got the other guy's hand in his face? So why wasn't that offsetting penalties, number one? And you cannot tell me, we backed up the TV probably 10 or 12 times, me and my son, and watched holding after holding after holding on the Green Bay's offensive line. And does any time do these guys get an opportunity to write to the NFL, not say it out publicly, but write to the NFL? I mean, that was one of probably the most frustrating thing to me today. And the guys played awesome, and salute to the Jaguars. I love you guys.
All right, Darren.
Yeah, thanks for the call. And each week, each team can send in plays to the league to review. Hey, was this a penalty? Why was this not called? There's a process for that, and I'm sure the Jaguars will be a part of that process this week. So, and you're going to get this kind of gripe every game. Yes. But today, a little more notably, I think, than normal.
I think that was a hold, but I understand what he's saying. If you're not calling, there are other instances. What happened, I think, JP, he had the jersey.
See, I just don't remember that situation.
I remember it was Blake ran for what would have been a first down, right? This is on the final drive.
Yes.
Right? And so he had a handful of jersey kind of up under the shoulder pad, which he would have gotten away with. And I'm not sure who the defensive player was. Cut to the inside as Blake was making his run, and he might have had a chance to make a play. And Luke held on, and you could see the jersey stretch, and it definitely impeded him. Again, I'm not faulting Luke. You're not trying to get your quarterback killed. You gotta make that play and hope for the best, and maybe the rest let it go. It is frustrating when you think it's being called, you know, one way and not the other, when you see instances of that. But in that instance, if I'm a ref. And it's a key play. The guy ran for the first down, clearly aided by that hold, in my opinion. I think it was the right call. You'd just like to see that balanced out a little bit more over the course of the game.
The ones we talked about all day so far, the pass interference, no calls early in this game.
Right. And the Cyprian pass interference, I think it was on Devontae Adams, right? Or no, it was Cook. It was Jared Cook down the middle. And we're watching, come on, Sip, what are you doing? Pass interference. And you watch a replay, like, well, what is he doing? He turned his head around. He's looking back for the ball. Didn't look like he had his arm wrapped around Cook.
It was a very slight contact.
Right, and Cook came through him to try to get the football, and they called pass interference, which I thought was pretty ridiculous.
And set him up in the last minute to retake the lead. That was the drive with a minute left in the first half.
All right, gave him a big chunk play on that drive, and then that's part of the reason why they're able to go to, what, a minute and 9 seconds or whatever they had to go down the field, and they take the lead there. And you think about it, that's the last touchdown they score all day. Back to the phones we go. 355-NFL1. Lucas is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, bud.
Hey, just wanted to point it out that I thought Audric looked good. I know, you know, everyone's talking about the penalties, but if I didn't watch a game and someone told me, oh, man, the refs cost us the game, you know, I don't really buy it. But, yeah, I thought Audric had a good game, and I think even with Ivory not being there, you know, this game showed how valuable that signing was, because I feel like if we had him, we probably would have won.
I'll take your spots off the air.
All right. Thanks. I don't know. If
five tackles for Odrick, by the way.
Including a sack.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, I thought Odrick was strong in there, and that's, you know, you knew. Look, the guy gets hit. He goes into the concussion protocol. I know Tony Boselli and John Oger acted like there was nothing to it. I mean, he was in the concussion protocol just a couple of days ago. So the fact that Tyson Alualu was inactive showed you that that wasn't going to be an issue for Jared Odrick. But I'm not convinced that if Chris Ivory were there, they would have won the game. It would have helped. You would have had, you know, somebody to spell T.J. Yeldon. But when you're getting hit in the backfield like Yeldon did, I mean, I'd really like to know how many times he got hit in the backfield on first contact. Because, you know, they had so many of those plays, JP. He probably ran for, what did he run for, 39 yards? He probably ran for over 60 yards.
Right.
If you just take away the negative plays, and those, to me, weren't on T.J. Yeldon. I don't know if Chris Ivory would have done much. You know, they had the one red zone situation. T.J. trucked the guy at the goal line and took it in. So, you know, possible. It's possible Chris Ivory could have done something that would have been the difference in this football game. We'll just never know.
By the way, how weird was it to see Alualu inactive today?
First time ever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it very strange, you know. And but it, I think it goes to show you really the changing landscape of the talent base here in Jacksonville. You know, you get an exciting young guy like Sheldon Day in there. You got a healthy Sen'Derek Marks. You have too many good players on the defensive line to be active on game day, and that's a good thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More of your calls when we come back. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show. Final score from Everbank Field, 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. Couple of games in action, three in the NFL right now in the 4 o'clock window. That's halftime. Seahawks lead the Dolphins 6-3 out in Seattle. Lions over the Colts 14-3. That's late second quarter. Two-minute warning in Dallas. Cowboys over the Giants 9-7. That's in the first half as well.
Yep. Nice to see Indy on the short end of it right
yes,
now.
Yes, it is.
14-3. Let's hope the Lions keep that up. That's a home game for the Colts as well. Then the division would be only Houston with a victory today. And we'll take that. That's the best outcome we can get at this point.
Yeah, it's early, though.
I know it's early, man. But
Week 1.
I mean, look, every loss, the loss in Week 1 counts on your final record as much as the loss in Week 17.
It does.
It does. Let's go to the phones, JP, before you make some snide comment in my direction. 355-NFL1. I did see it coming. I saw the finger point, the hesitation. It was all set up. Instead, we're going to talk to Jonathan on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, thanks.
Hey, man.
I didn't like the last play of the game because everyone knows that you're supposed to go to the sticks to get the first down, and I can understand if Blake didn't see anything, then he probably should have taken off and probably ran for the first down. But to throw it short of the first down, I mean, you know you're going to get stopped. I mean, so why would you do that?
That's not on Blake to me. That's a Greg Olsen call. Greg Olsen calls that play for Blake.
There wasn't an option on the play.
There's no option. That ball. They're coming at you. They're blitzing you. So Blake Bortles cannot hang on to the football. Immediately as soon as he gets the ball in his hands, he's throwing it. That's what the play calls for. So you can, if you don't like the call of the play or the way it was blocked by Allen Robinson, certainly I think that's fine. Blake didn't do anything wrong on that play. He was not supposed to freelance there. That is a play designed. You're expecting man coverage on the outside, like Fred Taylor was saying. That's exactly what you got. Here it goes. And they just didn't get it done.
And credit Randall for the Packers for making the tackle, too.
Very right. The block. It was a good play. I didn't like the play call, but it's not. Blake didn't execute it improperly. He did all he's supposed to do in that circumstance. It just didn't work, you know. So, again, Jonathan, thank you for the call. Let's go across the pond. Our buddy Christoph is checking in from over in England. Hello, Christoph. How are you?
I'm quite depressed at this moment in time because I'm going to have to wear a dress to Wembley.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, you had a bet?
I'll give you some mad props if you put the dress on the line on the opener against the Green Bay Packers.
I thought y'all called them kilts.
I think he needs a real dress.
I'm not Scottish, Tony. I live in England. No, I put a – it was originally supposed to be a 20 down on the home opener, and then we decided, you know, we were drinking, so we were like, forget it. Let's let's put dresses on the line. So I have to wear a dress to the home to the Jags Wembley game. So, but that was an amazing game. It was an emotional roller coaster of a game, but it was really good.
Chris, do you think it's indicative of a team that's going to break out of the cycle that they've been in for the last 3 years?
There was a lot of things that happened in that game that had me really encouraged, but there were still a couple of things in that game that had me worried. Interior offensive line play and pass rush were the big things for me. But yeah, I liked a lot of what I saw. I think there's going to be some games that we're going to take this season, and we're going to take them by big margins of victory as well.
All right. I think he's right, though, when you talk about the pass rush. How many times they sent the house? There was one call by Frank Frangie. Everybody's coming. Rodgers has plenty of time. It's something I'm paraphrasing, but you and I were like, uh-oh, as soon as we heard that. Because you and I and people who listen to the show in the past couple of years, JP, they know that we listen to the game broadcast, the Jaguars official radio broadcast, and we watch the tape delay 6 or 7 seconds on TV. So you don't see it as it's being described, and you're like, all right, here comes the house. Uh-oh, he's got all the time he needs. That's a bad sign for you. And really, for a team that just released their left guard and their starting left tackle had a kind of mysterious back injury that prompted them to put him on the injury report yesterday as questionable, really couldn't take advantage of it today.
I'm curious to see what kind of instruction there was. Was it, hey, don't get too crazy upfield because we don't want this guy to get out of the pocket? I have an idea that might have been the case. But even with that, there wasn't a lot of guys winning one-on-one.
Right, and that was the thing. On that play in particular, you could see everybody come, and they just kind of get stonewalled. Yeah. So it wasn't even a matter of getting too far up the field. They just got stuffed. Now, it's one thing if you're getting great pressure on Aaron Rodgers and he's making these phenomenal plays and he's eluding pressure and breaking containment. That wasn't really how it went down a lot of it. And now he extended the play rolling right on a lot of plays, and boy, it was just – you just had to hold your breath every time, you know, because it seemed like he was going to find that guy. And he had the one drive where he converted 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, and I think 3rd and 4, 3rd and 6 on 3 consecutive third downs. That kind of got under your skin a little bit too. Couldn't get the pressure. A little bit reminiscent of last year on 3rd and long.
By the way, touchdown Giants right
before
halftime.
Sterling Shepard.
7 seconds to go.
The rook.
Extra point coming. It'll be 14-9 Giants over Cowboys going into the halftime.
All right, you want to grab Michael before we break? Let's do it. Michael, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man.
Man, another sad loss, I guess. You know, frustrating as it always is. But, you know, I think Blake Bortles said it best in his conference earlier today where he said maybe 2 years ago, you know, it's 48-0, you know, against a team like the Green Bay Packers. So, progress of a sort, I guess, and you know, we'll keep supporting him no matter what. But I did want to bring up you know, we talked about Miles Jack in the preseason a lot and coming and leading into this week, and you know, kind of a non-entity the whole week. And
totally
I kind of felt like, you know, it'd been nice to see the rookie get out there and, you know, at least even spy Aaron Rodgers on a couple of times. He just kind of rolled around and bought time, and you know, Jared Cook down the field, and you know, I felt like Cyprian got maybe a little overmatched in coverage with him. So just kind of want to get your thoughts on that and what you thought of the overall D-line play against Aaron Rodgers.
Gotcha. You know, look, I thought the primary guy you're looking to see if he was going to eat into his time was Telvin Smith. I thought Telvin played extremely well today.
Good game.
So you know, it's understandable why I didn't get a lot of run in there. You're not going to play him in Sip's spot. He's not a strong safety. He's just not going to be that guy. Now, maybe somewhere down the line they develop some exotic coverage packages as far as that goes. I didn't think Cook, Cyprian got called for the pass interference on that play. I didn't think it was pass interference, and Cook had a very quiet day overall when typically tight ends have really killed the Jags. And what was his last one was the Jags D-line versus Aaron Rodgers. I think we kind of talked about that. You know, not a ton of push. Eddie Lacy had some key runs today, JP, but he didn't have a big day where it's just like, oh, my gosh, 5-6 yards every single time, you know. So overall, I thought the Jags defense, despite the fact they gave up 27 points, that's the Packers. Rodgers threw for 199, and they ran for about 100 yards as a team.
Quick math lesson. What's 61 minus 28?
That would be 33.
That's what Lacy would have had Cyprian made the tackle in the backfield.
Well, that was certainly a bad play by Sip. That was the one really one that stood out like a sore thumb.
But that's to your point about Lacy. The numbers wouldn't have been 14 for 61. It would have been, you know, a lot less than
right,
that.
And even then, 14 for 61, he busted that one play. Right, a couple of other nice runs. But, yeah, that was really – Sipp has to make that tackle. Just hang on to his leg and help will arrive, you know. He basically let Eddie Lacy bounce off him and pop that big one. Yep. That was a killer, no doubt.
Yeah, so that kind of skewed the day a little bit for Lacy, that one play. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back with the injury report. More of your calls. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. 27-23. Packers over the Jaguars. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Health system changing healthcare for good. Nothing too crazy today. Jalen Ramsey was in and out of the game off and on with looked like maybe an ankle issue. They got him retaped back in the ball game. Chris Ivory was a scratch this morning, was hospitalized for a general health issue. The team not releasing exactly what it is, but that could have affected maybe some things in the run game today. Other than that, let's see. Jared Odrick played today and played pretty well today, coming off he was in the concussion protocol earlier this week.
One thing that Ivory affected, one play in particular, now that I think of it, is the play Denard Robinson was in and really got shoved back into Blake Bortles in pass protection. Yeah. And T.J. Yeldon, typically an outstanding pass protector, wasn't on the field because he had several carries in a row, I think, at that point, and he just needed a blow, and they put in Denard, who never would have been in that situation.
Well, it's interesting. Remember, they checked right before that play and moved Denard up. Maybe they had the check to that and weren't expecting it. Maybe. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe they didn't expect that to come. Denard's on the field. Okay, we got to put a guy in there, and Denard happened to be the guy out there. That's the other part.
Maybe.
It could happen.
It's possible.
We don't know. Who knows? But I do know that the phone lines are open.
And they're filling up, so let's go back out to it. 355-NFL-1. Jordan, you're up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, you guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I have two things. Last week I was talking about how the mental, state of the Jaguars will be. That was actually answered for me today. You know, sitting here and watching them, they played great defense inside the red zone, and they also played good pass defense, too. I mean, 199 yards.
Yep.
That's not that many points in fantasy, even though, I couldn't check my ESPN fantasy and check my players, Allen Robinson.
That's been an issue today, apparently, for some people, Jordan, people who play
but,
that.
But,
I don't know.
The second thing is, 16 games, that's a lot. And that's a lot of times you're going to see Blake drop back. There's a lot of times you're going to look at Luke Jokel. There's a lot of times, things are going to go bad. But the Jaguars? They face adversity today inside their 10 at the beginning of the game. Ohio State had a rough time playing against, Tulsa and Bowling Green, but, they played well. So let's keep the Jaguars heads up, because at the end of the day, dude, this might be an L, but six more games, we could take a W.
I had you until the
thank you, Jordan.
Until you dropped a Buckeye reference on us. I was good with that.
Yeah, didn't they blow out Tulsa
this
week? I thought that was a blowout.
Yeah,
I don't know how much adversity.
Who wants to hear about Ohio State anyway?
Apparently not an Alabama fan that I'm sitting next to here. All right, shall we talk about the
NFL?
The beating Charlie South took this weekend, Charleston Southern.
It was a bad one.
At the hands of Florida State? No, let's not. Let's go to Saqib up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib, how are you?
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up?
Hey, I'm disappointed at our defense. I think we should not use Ramsey and the Blitz no more. This is my personal opinion. And Tiffin is just bad. We should use them more on the blitz than Ramsey, because I just don't understand how our defense allows, in 53 seconds, allows a touchdown at the end of the second quarter. That's just, I don't understand that. So I hope they get better next week, because we got to play Chargers and we don't play good on West Coast. So, good luck to us next week.
Who would you use on the blitz instead of Ramsey?
I'm sorry?
Who would you use other than Ramsey?
I don't care. Use somebody who – Ramsey's your shutdown corner. If Ramsey is your shutdown corner, then you need to have him in a shutdown corner. I'm just saying, just use something else, because Tiffin is that bad. I'm sorry to say that. Tiffin is horrible. So that's just my personal opinion on Tiffin. I don't like the guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, honestly, other than that blown tackle, I don't think Sip was – terrible today. Sip actually had a good blitz in the first half when the Green Bay was it the first half? I think it was. And they're backed up in their own end. It was one of the times Norman pinned him inside the five, right? He beat his man and got pressure right in Aaron Rodgers' face.
Had to throw it away.
Had a pretty good blitz right there. All right. Saqib's not happy, but I didn't expect he would be. All right.
Why would he be?
Let's get Chris in before we break here. 355 NFL 1. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man. I love the Jaguars. Don't get me wrong and everything. I'm there every week, but at some point, these guys calling in with all the rah-rah stuff has got to stop. These are the kind of games that in year three or four of a rebuild, you got to start winning these kind of games, man. Like, it's just ridiculous, and I'm kind of tired of it. Like, it's just one more loss on the Gus Bradley record, in my opinion.
Okay.
Well, it is.
I mean,
you're lost.
But I mean, I understand what he's saying, though, and technically that's correct, but you have every right to feel that way as a fan that, hey, you know what, this year is about results. It's not about close but no cigar, and that's fine. I do believe you could feel however you want. We're not asking for rah-rah calls. We're just taking them as they come in, and a lot of people are looking at this performance and saying, this looks like a different team to me. This, if you can go toe-to-toe with the Packers and maybe had a couple of things gone your way that didn't, know, maybe a play or two really here or there go your way, you win that football game. I think that's a justified, reasonable look at it, but I understand both sides. I really do. If you're in that camp that says nothing but wins this year, I totally get where you're coming.
A lot of plays went their way in this game too.
They did.
All the fourth down conversions,
right?
Went
but
their
did they go their way, or they made plays on that? There were nothing tricky or fluky about that stuff. You know, it's to me, you've got, you know, a couple of the pass interference, the non-calls against Allen Robinson early on. Who knows if it would have changed the outcome of the game? You know, just make that play. If Allen Robinson comes down with that ball in the end zone on that Blake, that was a makeable play right there. You know, so that's one that didn't go your way that maybe could have there. Again, I get it though. Chris is like, hey, enough of this. I wins and that's it, and that's what it's all about. I think that's a justified way of looking at it if you want to feel that way, but. At the same time, I understand why there's this thing. We knew we'd get this, JP. We knew some people were going to say, hey, you know, it's not that it's a moral victory. You think it's an indicator of continued better play to come. And if you play, as one of our callers said, if you play this way against the entire schedule, you're going to pile up some W's because they're not all as good as the Green Bay Packers.
You still got to win some games at some point.
Absolutely. You got to win. You got to start.
Talking about this and it's 0-4 and 5, that's trouble.
They need to win the next three games. Look, San Diego just got gut punched today. They just lost their best receiver. They just had their guts ripped out from them on the road in a game they should have won. They blew it. They're going to be reeling a little bit next week. You got to win that game. No more of this San Diego's tough because they're always tough against the Jags. It's a new team. It's a new group of players. They haven't had those negative experiences. And then Baltimore, their offense didn't do much of anything today. Played good defensively, played well. And Indy, I don't think, is going to be that good this year. So go win the next three games, and everyone's going to say, wow, could be 4-0 were it not for just a nail-biting loss to the Green Bay Packers.
I think a lot of folks would take 3-1 at the bye.
I think, well, that's the best you could get
right now.
So I think
we'll
you're right. I think we all will.
At this point, we're back with the final segment of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. If you don't get in, guess what? The fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up next. 641-1010 is the number.
That is correct.
And I remember that.
That's very good.
But that? You can get in with those guys and get your thoughts out about the Jags game today. 27-23, the final. Packers over the Jaguars. This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and medium drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, those registered today are happy and no longer hungry because Jason Myers hit a 50-yard field goal today. I don't think he hit any that long in the preseason, so it's been a long time coming. Myers, perfect day for Jason Myers today. And it's perfect on top of that because everybody gets a sub.
Everybody gets a sub. And, you know, for Myers, just would have maybe been the worst outcome you could have had if they lost it on a kick, right? I mean, they lost and it's bad enough as it is. But Myers not only made them, he pretty much drilled them today. So let's hope that continues for him. He's certainly talented, JP. He only missed 4 field goals last year, and he's on a pretty good field goal streak. I think it was definitely a mental thing with the extra points. Let's hope he's beyond that this year. All right, 355-NFL-1. Time for one last phone call.
One more.
Honor will go to Nick. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Good, thank you. Good.
Hey, I'm good. As much as I want to be as positive and I want to be optimistic about the Jacksonville Jaguars and I love our offense and I love our acquisitions, just to come out with another loss at home and against a great NFC team, we lost in week one against the Panthers. It was a close game. Where do the Panthers end up? They end up in the Super Bowl. Jaguars end up with 5 wins. So as much as I want to be happy, I want to be as positive as I want to be, until they start winning games that they're not expected to win, I'm going to be a frustrated Jaguar fan.
Well, it's your prerogative, man. I do think, and while last year was relatively close, it didn't feel like this one to me. This, it's 20-9. You're still, the offense really didn't do anything last year in the opener.
You had your – that pick six by Norman that kind of
killed him, right?
There was an idea of things coming for Blake Bortles last year with the pick sixes and all that. So.
And nobody at the time knew how good Carolina. I understand his point. They won 15 games, so you hung in there with a great team. This is no indication, no guarantee of any future success. And you're right about that. But for fans who want to take that, you're not going to convince the whole fan. I'm not here to convince the fan base. Neither are you to feel any one particular way about it. There are going to be people that feel like Nick, and I think that's justified, but I can also understand the people who take the bright spots and say, let's hope, because it's pretty rough, man, to not have any hope after 1 week and to not have any joy out of that.
We've been in that spot before.
Yes, we have. And I personally, again, you're right, JP, they can't now go out and lose these games against very – beatable team. San Diego looked very good on the road for about a half today, maybe a little bit longer. I don't know how much the Keenan Allen thing took the wind out of their sails, because it happened pretty early in that game. They still built that 27-10 lead. You got to go to the West Coast and not forget this West Coast trip nonsense or Phillip Rivers this, Phillip Rivers that. This is a new collection of talent. You got 9 or 10 key guys on this team have never been part of a Jaguar experience on a field other than today. So all the past is the past. Let's go out there and get a W next week.
4:25 kickoff next week. We're on the air at 1:30 with the Public's Tailgate Show. Is that right? 3 hours? Yeah, that's
about
right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, sure. 1:30-ish. No, we'll go on 1:30 with the Public's Tailgate Show, and then 3:30 with Countdown to Kickoff on the entire network. Hey, well done today, man.
Well, thank you, and same to you. And I'll invite people to tune into Jaguars Today with myself and Tony Smith tomorrow morning. We'll talk more about it from 10 to noon.
I'm sure people will have some more opinions when
they will.
Sleep on it.
I bet
that?
They will.
They'll have opinions coming up. The Fifth Quarter Show is next. Our thanks to Linda Fortunato, Tony Smith, and Max Hochman, the entire crew in the Jaguars.com room on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app. For Mike Dempsey, I'm JP Shadrick. That's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.